Good afternoon, Watford Town. It's good to be here again after such a long spell. First of all, I'd like you to know that I thoroughly enjoyed the lesson study. That lesson study shouldn't have finished. We should still be doing that lesson study. It was a blessing. Thank you, my dear sister. And Pastor Roach, it's good to see you again. And all of you other members, it's just good to see you. My wife would have wanted to be here, but our church right now, as I'm speaking, they're having communion service, and she's one of the deaconesses. So she's going to miss this one. Brethren, isn't it good to be here on the Sabbath? Yes. Seriously. I told someone the other day, I am glad God did it in 7 days, not eight. Six is enough, and we rest on the seventh. Isn't it wonderful, church? I don't know about any of you here. I look forward to the Sabbath. Seriously. No one can call me from work today because it's a special day. And I'm going to speak to you on something you already know. I've called it the power of prayer. And brethren, as we wait upon God, we ought to be a people of prayer. Amen? Amen? Let us pray. Loving Father in heaven, as I speak to your people, I pray that your presence will be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. James Watt. Some of us may have heard of James Watt. He noticed a teapot was on the fire, and he noticed that the lid was shaking. And he realized that there is power in steam. And as a result of it, it revolutionized industry. 45 years later, the hydraulic turbine was invented. One turbine could process 100,000 horsepower, whatever that means. And then we have now the gasoline engine, followed by the diesel engine. And after that, we have these elements of nature, coal, oil, wood, wind, fire, water, and all of these are used for heating and transportation. In 1939, physicists found out that about energy, that they discovered that this atom, it has power in it once you can split it. 50 years of scientific research. And as research progresses, we are now living in what is called the atomic age. In August 6, 1945, Hiroshima felt the power of this atomic age. And this is from the atom bomb. Thousands of people died, and when it hit the world's news, the world was afraid because this atom was destructive. Each atom could not be seen with the naked eye or sophisticated lenses. This atom could either heat your home or incinerate nations. This atom could do marvelous things and yet it could kill by the thousands. That's how powerful it is. And as scientific control of energy is on the increase, we now see that spiritual power is on the decrease. The smarter man becomes, the more foolish he becomes in his thoughts about God. The more wisdom man has in material things, the less he sees the need for the wisdom of God. One great church leader said that the church has become spiritually bankrupt. There is no power amongst Christians. He said that because there is some truth in this, there is a tragic loss in confidence in the church and in Christianity and in Christ himself. The problem is, men and women in this world judge Christ in what they see in so-called Christians. When they see us and find us, they see weak, impotent, slaves to habit, then sees Christ as being ineffectual and irrelevant to today's life. And so, the big question is, does the scriptures and the lives of church members offer any hope for modern man? If the answer is no, then why are we here? What is the church all about? If the answer is yes, is there any spiritual power to help with delinquency, with drugs, with the breaking up of the family, and all the other things that plague the world? So scientists have devoted years of study, years of work to discover their physical energy and put the power just mentioned. Night and day, without thought of food and fun and hour by hour, giving up sleep and the comfort of home, family relationships in the quest for material power. This kind of devotion is needed in a spiritual sense to know what God is anxious to do for us and in us to finish the work. Some need to give up sleep. Some need to give up pleasure and spend more time in the prayer closet in order to receive the power that he is anxious to give and he is willing to give, which he must give in order to finish this work with a blaze of glory. So we need discipline in prayer and in Bible study. So, It will attract those who are looking for a better life. So what is the answer? The answer is someone has got to lead the way. Someone has got to lead the way. Someone who knows God has to attract others. Somebody has to lift the standards that have fallen. Some has got to show the church and the world what is love. Someone has to show the world what Jesus can do with lost men and women. Through humility, through confession, through repentance, through faith in Christ Jesus, God is going to give us power. Spiritual power that is explosive. A spirit that can move things. A spirit that can put the phone down when the other person has called you to talk about the weaknesses of somebody else. A spirit that will grab the attention of a non-believer. I told you this before. When I came here once, of a dear sister, Suzanne. She was on her way home from work, tired, 8 hours of work, and she was on the Central Line coming home on the train. And this train was packed with people in it. And every time the train stopped, more people would come. And these two black girls were standing right there in front of her. And she noticed that they were looking at her from head to foot. And she was very uncomfortable. She wondered, why are they? And you know when two black ladies are looking at you, you have to be careful. Two black ladies, and you're wondering, what in the world are they? She's saying, Raymond, I couldn't understand what they were looking at. Did I have a stain on my dress? Is my tights, is there a hole in them? Is there a stain? And she was very uncomfortable. She said, Raymond, I wanted to get off the train even though it wasn't my destination yet. These ladies kept looking at, and then she noticed these two ladies now are whispering. And she said, Raymond, I know they're talking about me. I'm uncomfortable. I know they were talking about me. And then she heard one say to the other one, you ask her. The other one said, no, you ask her. No, you ask her. And one of them leaned forward and said to her, excuse me, are you a Christian? She was so relieved. She said, why, yes. And then the other one turned to the other one and said, see, I told you she's a Christian. I told you she's a Christian. Brethren, I don't know how they do it, but there are some people who can just look at you and know that you're a child of God. How do they do it? Just look at you and know you're a child of God. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not by might, not by my power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. If the Holy Spirit is in us, then the power of God is in us. What then is the excuse for the church not exercising this power? In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, we read, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. That's our weaknesses. The power comes that we will overcome our weaknesses. There is a power available to help us become what God wants us to become. Amen? A power that will help us in our witness. This power is available right now, but you must want it in order to get it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we read, for the word of God is quick and what? And powerful. If we want power from God, we must go to the Bible to get this help. To find out how to get it. To find out what we must do in order to have it. We must believe it and see it as a source, not of a source of debate. And you know how we like to debate and have discussions. To reject the word of God means to reject power. To say no to the known will of God in our lives is to turn down the power of God. Power will not come if we reject his word. Power belongs to the true Christian because the Holy Spirit abides in him and in her because they are a born-again Christian. Now, my mother, 1968, I was 9 years of age then. I didn't know anything about baptism. We weren't going to church. And my mom, if you had seen my mom, she had a lot of friends. They went partying. You know, she had all the lipsticks and all that stuff on her and toenails and everything. That's my mom in the 60s. Party. And one day, a pastor came to my mom's house. And you know, the front room, you know, years ago we had what is called the front room, right? The front room is our parents, it's their sacred place. Some parents used to have a key for the front room. You don't just go into the front room. But some people, a pastor came to visit my mom. And while they were in the front room, my other brother and I, we were wondering what they were doing. And they were praying. And we didn't understand what was going on. And my mom came out, and she was kind of different. And then that following Sunday, my mom was baptized. And then after that baptism, something happened. She was baptized it was on a Sunday she was baptized. And then Monday morning, we noticed, even my dad noticed, she ain't wearing lipstick anymore. She ain't wearing no earrings anymore. She what's that stuff you used to wipe it off? And she was wiping it off. What's wrong with my mom? And what did they do to my mom? We've never seen it before. She stood in the water. We were at the baptism. She stood in the water. There was a man standing there, and they took our mother, and they dipped her in water and brought her back up again, and she's soaking wet. What's that all about? 9 years of age. We don't know what's going on. We thought it was abuse. And brethren, from that day in 1968, my mother never wore lipstick again. She never wore earrings again. Even the people at her workplace couldn't understand, what's wrong with you? My dad couldn't understand. And my mom said, in her little words, I'm a born again Christian. I'm born again. So I said, Mom, what does that mean? You know, as time went, Mom, what does that mean? When you're born again, what does that mean? My mom, she's not learned. She's not one of those who gets into these high discussions. She said, being born again means things you used to do. You don't do them anymore. Places you used to go. You don't go anymore. Things you used to wear, you don't wear them anymore. Why? Because you're a born again Christian in Jesus. And that's what makes the difference. Amen? You know, one time I go to Watford, you used to say amen. Okay. We will not receive power if we are holding. Oh, listen to this. We will not receive power if we are holding or hanging on to some pet sin, some precious evil in our lives. Ellen White said, listen to this. In Testimony Treasures, Volume 2, Ellen White says, the love of the world, the love of some darling sin, she calls them darling sins, has weaned the heart from the love of prayer and meditation on sacred things. Gospel Workers, page 436, she said, we cannot afford to dally with the tempter. To persist in one wrong habit, to cherish one darling sin. You want another one? To be like Jesus, page 208. Many cling to their doubts and their darling sins while they are in so great a deception as to talk and feel that they are in need of nothing. I think the book called the Bible Echo. Jesus will, listen to this. Jesus will listen to our prayers and will answer. But if we regard iniquity in our hearts, if we cherish any darling sin, we may be assured that no blessing will be given in response to our prayers. Wow. One more. One darling sin cherished will defile the whole soul as one drop of ink will color a basin of water. One. No confession, no power. So let's have a look at prayer or praying. One of the things that make our church boring is members who pray long prayers. You know what I'm talking about? Brethren, I don't know, it doesn't happen here. It doesn't happen here. Brethren, I've been to a church where the person is praying. And the people, after a while, the people who are standing, after a while, they're now sitting down. The prayers going on and on and on and on. Ellen White calls them mechanical prayers. Let's see something here. Some believe that if a prayer isn't long, it isn't accepted by God. And that's not biblical. Okay. Short prayers and to the point are for church and in public. Long prayers are for the closet. That's right. With you and God alone. Let's have a look. There's some model prayers in the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 6. That's Jehoshaphat's prayer. He's a man of God. And brethren, we read Jehoshaphat's prayer. Only 7 verses of prayer. How long does it take to read 7 verses? Nehemiah's prayer. 7 verses. And there are many others. And then Jesus gave us the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, which is only 5 verses. Brethren, listen carefully. Let us make praying a joy. Amen? Let it be a joy and a privilege and an act of worship that we can all look forward to. Now, brethren, another thing is God protects us when we pray. Amen? God puts a protection around his people. If we ask God for protection, he will give it. Even if we don't ask, there is an automatic fence that is built around us by the unseen hand. Now, brethren, I'm closing. Listen to this carefully. I don't know anywhere in this world. I don't know of another city in this world where God doesn't send extra angels to protect his people like Kingston. Kingston, Jamaica. No, not Nairobi. Not Nairobi, Kenya. Not Accra, Ghana. Not Lusaka. No. Not Harare or Port of Spain. No way. Kingston. That's where God sends a lot of angels. It's just my opinion. Brethren, a dear sister was coming home from prayer meeting. In Kingston, there are some bad areas in Kingston. And some of you may have heard of some of these. Let me read some of these areas in Kingston that are considered bad. Pastor, you know about them. There's a place called Denham Town. There's a place called Trench Town. There's another place called Regent Street. There's a place called Arnett Town. There's a place called Tivoli. Every one of these areas, brethren, has got a Seventh-day Adventist church there. Are you listening to me out there? There's an Adventist church there. And God sends angels, extra angels, to protect his people. Dear sister was coming home from prayer meeting. And it's dark. And she has to walk through these bad streets in Kingston. She has to walk through these downtown to get home. She does it all the time. And there are some places in Kingston where the street lights, these guys take stones and they don't want no light in the area and they get rid of them. And so this lady now is coming home from prayer meeting. I don't know what she was singing. She could have been singing moment by moment. She could be singing a blessed assurance. I don't know. She's coming home from prayer meeting. And there was a young guy sitting on the wall, saw her going home alone. And he decided now he's going to make his move. You know what I'm talking about.
So he got off the wall and he started to walk behind this lady. When she gets to the end of the road, she has to make a left turn into an alleyway, a dark alleyway. And he decided that's where he's going to make his move. Now, brethren, I want you to listen to this. Don't mess with a child of God who has just come off their knees. And so this guy now, he's following behind her. She makes the left turn. Now he's running to catch her up because he wants to catch her inside that alleyway. And as she turned left, a large lorry filled with soldiers came to the entrance of that alleyway. They were doing, looked like a military exercise. And so this young man now saw these soldiers, and he turned around and he walked straight back to where he's coming from. Changed his mind. And while he's walking back, he's looking to see if they're gone, but they're still there. And so it didn't work. He waited until next Wednesday night. He saw the woman coming back from prayer meeting. The same woman. He got up off the wall and he followed behind her. When she reached the corner to turn left, that lorry came again. And the soldiers disembarked and they were just doing a military exercise. Nothing. And he had to turn around and go straight back. And then he decided he's going to go and look for this lady. He went to that Seventh-day Adventist church called Trench Town to look for this lady. And he saw the lady. And he called her out of church. Could you come here in it, please? And she came. And he said to her, did you see Wednesday night? Did you see those soldiers? Did you see those soldiers at the corner before? She said, no. Sister, what do you mean? Didn't you see the other Wednesday? Those soldiers, there was lots of them coming. She said, no. And then this guy realized that this must be a child of God. Amen. Brethren, he saw angels. What does the Bible say? There's something here. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord does what? Encampeth about them that fear him. I'll give you another one. I got lots of these. An Adventist sister. She grew up her children in the church. Her son and her daughter grew them up in church. And they grew up well, become teenagers. But the son became unruly. He got himself in trouble, in drugs. Selling drugs and gotten himself into big trouble. And he owed some gunmen some money. Okay. And so these gunmen can't find him. He's hiding. And so in order to get to him, they decided to kill his mother. And so they knew that on a Wednesday night, she is coming from prayer meeting. And so that prayer meeting, this lady, she's walking on her own. Who knows what she was singing? Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Who knows? But she's walking home. And these three gunmen around her, they're waiting until she gets to the gate, and then they will shoot her at her door. Now they're walking behind her, and this child of God, she's looking behind, and she sees these young men, but she ain't taking any notice. She's coming up to her gate now, and all of a sudden, she can hear these guys making this noise. They're frantic. She doesn't know what's wrong with them. And she looks up and wondering what's wrong with them, but she didn't take no notice. The guys turned around and ran for their life. Huh? This dear sister didn't see anything. She went in, opened the door, and went indoors. That was it. The following day, one of those gunmen went to her house. And you know, in the West Indies, we respectfully call our elderly, whether auntie or mom, you know what I'm talking about. And he went to the door and he says, Mom, you're a child of God. She said, what do you mean? We came to kill you last night. You saw us last night behind you? She said, yes. We came to kill you. But when you got to the gate, we saw this large angel with wings stretched out wide, and he had a sword in front of him, and we saw it, and we ran for our lives. Don't mess with a child of God when they've just come up off their knees. Amen? One more. Can I give you one more? A dear sister. Sorry, it's all sisters. But I don't know what it is, brethren. And you know, it seems to be that more ladies are going to prayer meeting more than men. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But there's a dear sister. I know her personally. She told me her story. She used to go out with a non-Adventist guy. And they got on really well. Oh, she loved him. He used to come by her and she used to go by him. He used to call her, she used to call him. They got on really. She actually saw marriage. But she noticed gradually he was not showing any interest anymore. He wasn't showing that interest anymore. And then one day he called her and he told her that he's ending the relationship. And she couldn't deal with it. Oh, she couldn't work. She couldn't sleep at night. Her flatmate was wondering what's wrong with her. She said, don't worry, there are plenty of fish in the sea. This dear sister told me she doesn't see any reason why she needs to live. She's going to give it up. She's going to commit suicide. She's going to commit suicide. But she doesn't want to do it. She wants somebody else to do it. And so she lives in this area, this bad area of Kingston, Denham Town. And brethren, she decided she's going to walk along this dark street. And you know, there are places in Kingston where you hear a gunfire over there and another gunfire over there. And some guys are cleaning their gun and shooting it, testing it. And these are some areas in Kingston, brethren, when you can wake up and walk along the street and early in the morning you'll see a dead body right there. And she's going to walk down this street. Opened the door and she told her flatmate bye. Told her flatmate bye. Now she's walking down this street late in the night. Gunfire here. A gunfire over there. A gunfire over here. And she now, one of those bullets must get me. I want to die. I can't live anymore. I just can't do this anymore. I must die. She's walking up this street, brethren, and she hears the gunfire. Nobody's shooting at her, but she can hear it. She reached the top of the road and nothing's happened. She's still alive. And then she walks back to the flat now. She's on the way back down the same road where she hears the gunfire. She hears the gun, and she's coming up, and now she reaches her gate. And nothing's happened. She's still alive. When she opened the door of her apartment and she looked into the living room, she saw her flatmate praying for her. What would say amen, no? That's prayer power, amen? That's prayer power. And God wants to give us this power. And as he comes, as we come to the end of earth history, as things are closing down now, brethren, God wants to give us this power. Amen? God bless you.